God bless you. We're going to talk about taking back what the enemy has stolen. Part two. So we did part one on Wednesday night. If you want to listen to it, you can go online, listen to the recording. But this is part two. The Lord specifically has something to get over to us. So I'm going to, really intentionally focus on getting that over by the grace and help of God. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 21, our theme text for this season and time of restoration, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing, everybody say times, of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, whom was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive or retain or keep until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. So this is what we call our pivotal verse. This is our pivotal promise that we are standing on. These three verses should transform our thinking, our believing, and our behaving during this time and during this hour. Can somebody say amen? So notice, again, there's times of refreshing and there's times of restoration. Every one of us should be believing for those experiences and times of refreshing, more experiences of his manifested presence and goodness in your life, and more experiences of his restoration power and restoration work and will in and for your life. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so times means plural. It's not just once in a while or once in every blue moon. It means this season there are times. Praise the Lord. Between you and the Lord, you should be basking in his presence and enjoying his good Holy Spirit. Amen. And the glory of God. So notice also that restoration of all things precedes the coming of the Lord. And so we said before that the phrase whom heaven must receive literally means heaven must retain or keep or hold back. You can mark that in your Bible in the Greek. That's what it means, receive. So that means Jesus is not coming back until we get so refreshed and so restored. Because he's not coming back for what? A devastated church. He's coming back for a glorious church. Amen. Reference for that is Ephesians 5:27. So we define and we'll redefine restoration according to W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of Old Testament, New Testament words. He defines restoration as to set in order, to repair. So you ought to be looking for reparations. Amen. Financial reparations. Amen. Amen. Emotional reparations. You've been through some significant emotional events, some scarring on your memories. Amen. There's a reparation coming. That's a repairing work that the Lord wants to do in your heart and life. Amen. The restoration of estates to rightful owners and the balancing of accounts. How many know God's not waiting till you get to heaven to balance your account? He don't want you to just make it through and get the skin off your head and skin off your body and holes in your money and you go up there beat up, busted, and disgusted. That's what religion teaches you. But God says, I'm judged not then, now. Now. So if there needs to be a reckoning, a balancing of accounts, I'll take care of it now.
Amen.
Amen. Restore means to give back. To deliver, that's why we want you to give us those names. Some people need to be delivered. Amen. People who may be bound by alcohol in your family or bound by drugs or bound by Satan in some form or fashion. They can be delivered because God promised you and me, restoration. Amen. The renewal of a covenant broken. You know, sometimes we make mistakes. There's faults, there's failings, there's missteps, there's misconduct, there's misdeeds. But how many know God will make it right? Amen. And he'll reestablish and reactivate that covenant for you. We talked about that last week. And so there's a giving back, a person back, or bringing a person back. That means people who have run astray in your family. Amen. And it means to mend, to flourish, furnish completely. Don't stop believing and don't stop receiving, saints of God, until everything's furnished completely. Too often we get the word and we get the prophecy and we get excited and then for a few weeks we hold on, but then we let go. But that's not what God wants us to do. This whole year is a year of restoration. Amen. Are you listening to me? Yes. So as we stated before, God, Satan is out to destroy and devastate our lives. We know John 10:10 tells us, the thief comes not but for to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. To devastate means to destroy or ruin, or to overwhelm or overpower. And I would venture to say we'd probably have a pretty overwhelming majority vote that would say there has been times where I've been overwhelmed, overpowered. Amen. Or things have been destroyed or ruined. But God can make it right. Because he's our Father God, who is a restorer, a master restorer, and a turnaround specialist. Hallelujah. So, but whatever you're going through right now, it's not too big for God to handle. You got to settle that in your thinking. And that's one of the reasons we give you notes so you can go back and look at it. Because when the devil starts wrapping up your brain and punching you in your brain and telling you, it ain't for you, you're not going to make it, you got to look at it and say, Lord, you said to me that whatever I go through, what am I going through right now, you're not too big. It's not too big for you to handle. And that's a good perspective to maintain. Amen? So in the natural, it may seem as though it's impossible, but there's no way out. But that's in the natural. That's not in Christ. That's not in God. That's not in the things of God or the word of God. Nor is it in the will of God for your life. Amen. It's not over, like we said, until who? Until God says it's over. And God doesn't say it's over until you win. Amen. And in God, there's always a way out. God is famous for turning things around. God is our restorer and our master restorer. Now let's look at Joel chapter 2, verse 23 through 7, another one of our pillar scriptures in this season, our pillar promises. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice. So that's instruction, because he's going to tell us why we need to be glad and why we need to be rejoiced. He said, for the Lord has given you, look at that, the former rain faithfully, and will cause the rain to come down for you. For you. Now, remember, Pastor Cynthia was leading prayer. She said, let it rain. But if you look at the context of that in this scripture, the rain coming down means the good things from God are pouring down on your life. He says he's going to cause to come down for you the what? The former rain, the latter rain in the first month. That means you're going to get overflowed and overflooded with God's goodness and God's restoration power. Praise God. He said the threshing floor, and because of that, the threshing floor shall be full of what? Wheat. The vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will do what? Restore to you the years. Everybody needs to go back at least 5 years, because you got faith for 5 years back. You probably got a good memory for 5 years back. Now, 15 years may be a little bit challenged for some people's faith or your memory, but you can at least remember the last 5 years. Praise God. So go back to when? 2014, and put a mark in the sand and say, what did I lose? What's been stolen? What came upon me to take my health from my body? Amen. He said, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, the great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in what? Plenty, and be satisfied, and shall praise the name of the Lord your God. Now, you when you eating in plenty and living in plenty, man, you satisfied. Amen. Amen? Now, why is he doing some of this? Why is he wanting to do all this? Some people still have not answered that question in their own heart and mind, because he wants you to do your job with the gospel, with the kingdom. It's not so you can sit up and be fat, lazy, and happy. No offense to anybody, but I'm saying God doesn't want to just live in large only. He wants us to increase so we can do things for him with a greater impact. Amen, because Jesus is coming back soon. Amen. Now, he says, you have eaten plenty, be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord God. He has dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be what? Put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put, what, to shame. Now, here's the prophecies again we're standing on and embracing. Prophecies from Mark and Trina Hankins in the 2019 Supernatural Leadership Conference confirmed and established what was already in our heart, but it was just spoken out by the prophet of God. Amen. And it says in 2019, there will come a measure of blessing that you've never seen. So you should be expecting that. Amen. Unusual, out of the blue. Come on, it's already started. Because you're part of the church. It's already started. Unusual, out of the blue, a measure of blessing we have not seen. God is taking you from a small place of struggle and shame to a large place of abundance. What is he telling us? He's telling us what he's about to do. There are greater doors, anointing and blessing. The gospel will go around the world. That's the intention. Jesus is your shepherd, and he is leading you to a new place he has prepared. A new place for you to be, what? Refreshed. Times of refreshing come from the. Receive the word. Instruction now. Go in the spirit and in prayer. That's what we've been doing on the prayer watch chain. And everything will be, what? Enlarged to you. Declare. Instruction again. That 2019 is a year of restoration. Now, you don't declare it all once in a while. You declare it all the time. God is bringing me, make it personal. God is bringing me from a small place of shame and confusion into a wealthy place of abundance and refreshing. Now, you may be standing in rubble and in ruins, but you declare what? God has taken me from a small place of shame and confusion into a wealthy place of abundance and reflection. 2019 is the year of receiving double for my trouble. How many of you received that afresh and anew? Amen. Now here's another one. Here's the other one that we're embracing and we're holding on to and doing warfare with. My word is at work, so be at peace. The works of the adversary are about to cease. He thought he had you, but I've always come through. I'm turning things around just like I said I would do. He said in the word. We just read it. It's never over until I've had my say. That's why I'm called the truth and the way. I watch over my word when you choose to stand, and I bring deliverance again and again. So never give up and refuse to give in. It's almost over. You're about to win. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, just lift our hands and thank God for his words of promise and his words of prophecy. Thank you, Father God. Everybody say this. God is turning my captivity and restoring all things in my life. Say it with me again. Say, my Father God is turning my captivity and restoring all things in my life. Now give me three restores. Restore, restore, restore. And so what's our part to participate and cooperate with this, with his restoration work? Because remember, we said you have to give God something to work with. Amen. Or you can limit his work in your life. So it's important that you and I demonstrate our faith. That's an important word, demonstrate. Everybody say demonstrate. Demonstrate. So the question is your faith being demonstrated on a consistent, regular basis? Demonstrate your faith in who? In God's abilities and willingness to turn your our captivity and restore all things, us three things, to keep the things. Number one, we do this by decreeing and saying it. So are we doing it, decreeing it, and saying it? Number two, make our thoughts conform to God's word. So we renew our mind daily. Develop a restoration mentality. Don't leave the house without it. You know, I said that commercial says, don't go home without it. Don't leave the house without it. Amen. Don't get up and start doing work around the house without it. Amen. Without a restoration mentality. Cast down and cast out doubt, evil imaginations, and aggressively resist the thoughts of defeat and failure. When the devil says, you're not being restored, ain't nothing happening. Now, if you sit there on mute and silence, you lose. Because the devil will keep banging your head, and he's beating your brain until you're brain dead now. And you walk around like a vegetable around the house. Defeat, gloom, despair, agony on me. Amen. Now, some of us used to fight in the natural when we were younger and before Christ. And some of us used to fight dirty. Praise God. But, you know, some of us need to get our fight up. But this means, I'm not talking about your fist. I'm talking about your faith. Because we fight the good fight of faith. So to mean you got to get your faith up, that means you got to get the word up. Your word level has to go up in your spirit. And your word level has to come out through your mouth from your heart of faith. Are you listening to me? Everybody say, get your faith up. Turn to somebody next to you. Smile on real guys. You need to get your faith up, not your fist up. Hallelujah. Number three, your words must agree with God's words. Amen. So when the circumstances or pressure of circumstances or people try to take you down Misery Boulevard and Bad Memory Boulevard, you tell them what God says. You don't tell them how you feel and what you see and what's not happening. Hallelujah. Don't let nobody steal your mouth, because if he can close your mouth or get you to talk out of the side of your mouth, then he's got you. See, not just at church. Everybody's got good mouth control here. But at home, around the family and friends, when you're sitting in the bedroom with your loved ones and y'all talking about how bad it is, you in the demonic den. You're in a demonic den. You might as well just label it demonic den right now. Because you're talking out of the lies of the devil. Somebody say, glory to God. So God is ready to restore everything our adversaries have stolen from us and turn our devastation into restoration. But he has to have someone declare it and demonstrate it. You and I have to declare it and demonstrate it. You can't just say, well, that's nice, Pastor. No, you got to declare it and demonstrate it. You and I should charge the atmosphere with restoration, because these are the days. In the days of healing, revival, it was so easy to get healed. I'm going to tell you a little insight the Holy Spirit told me this morning. He said, it's so easy to be restored. It is so easy to get restored today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so easy. But you got to declare it and you got to demonstrate it. He said times of refreshing and times of restoration. Now, let me switch gears and give you this to be thinking through and practicing. Supernatural increase in restoration is part of what's God's agenda in these end times. He didn't want you to decrease. He wants you to increase. But he doesn't want you to be devastated because things have been taken and stolen from you. So God's will is not decrease or devastation. It is increase and restoration. Oh, this is good stuff. Amen. So we need to be exercising our faith for, number one, increase. Wherever you are now, start increasing. Amen. But also for restoration. Now let's look at increase for just a second. The Lord, Psalm 115, verse 12 through 15, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those that fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you what? Increase. King James says, look, the Lord increase you more and more. More and more. And you say, well, I've got enough. No, God wants you to have more. Because he's not the God of just enough. He's the God that's more than enough. He wants you to have too much to pay off your bills. He wants you to have too much to pay somebody else's car note. He wants you to have too much to pay your mortgage and somebody else's. He wants you to have too much. Hallelujah. Everybody say more. He said, you and your children, you, not just you, but your children. And when they ask you, Lord, they say, Daddy, Mama, why are you giving me $200? Because the Lord is good. Amen. And his mercy endureth forever. Amen? Amen? The Lord has been good to us. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. And it's not allowance time. It's not any other special time or special need. You just say, I'm blessing you. You and your children. That means the increase on you will run off on your children. Somebody said, glory to God. And he said, may the Lord bless you. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. So God wants to you and I to take back everything the devil stole from us. Take it back. If you hadn't started, get busy. He is both our God of abundance and the God of our restoration. God of restoration. And this is the stage, this is the time to get everything back. And I'll say it again, it's so easy to get it back now. You got to discern the times we're in right now. I want you to hear very closely with your spirit. This is the time of restoration and season of restoration, and you can get your stuff back now. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, our Father God is ready to restore everything that our adversary, the devil, has stolen from us. Dr. Jerry Savelle said, in these last days, God is raising up an army who will march into the enemy's camp and take back what was stolen. Now, Wednesday night, we covered the concept of grace and faith in the aspect that grace makes and faith takes. Now, we're going to build on this, but God wants to center in on something specifically about another aspect of faith that we need to employ, another aspect of our faith that we need to employ. So let's go to Mark 11, 22. Verse 3:24. Mark 11:22 says, so Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in who? God. Have faith in who? God. We know that also means and implies have the God kind of faith or have the faith of God. So that means we need to have it during this time because our faith is so important. That's what gives God something to work with. He cooperates and works with the demonstration and the exercise of our faith. And he said, for surely I say unto you, whoever says to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, what things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Amen. So it's a fundamental faith that we need to operate in and function in during this time. In these verses, the Lord Jesus gave us a powerful principles of the law of faith. And we need them. Remember, your faith gives the Lord something to work with in regards to his work and will of restoration in your life. With our faith, we access his empowering and enabling grace. So we said grace makes restoration available, healing available, prosperity available, increase available, amen, the family peace available, salvation available. Grace makes that available. We're saved by grace, but it's through faith. Amen? So grace makes, faith takes. And faith takes what grace has made. God's grace being poured out today during this season, during this time, is a grace of restoration. He's doing it because of our covenant with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something that we, you know, we say we can earn or merit it or work for it, but it's a grace. But it takes our faith to access it and appropriate it. Is everybody here? So he equips us with his grace to stand, to stay strengthened and remain steady and stable through the storms and struggles. Because when the devil's devastating you and trying to destroy you, it can be tough on your flesh. And it could be tough, intense in your mind and your emotions. And so the devil's trying to get you to see and feel everything negative. Everything's falling apart. Everything's failing. But the Lord is telling you, I've got grace to give you so you can stay strong and steady and stable during this storm, during this struggle. But how do we get the grace? By our faith. Look at this beautiful scripture in Romans 14, 16 in the Amplified Bible. I think if they can put it up. Romans 4, 16 in the Amplified Bible says it this way. Therefore, inheriting the promise is an outcome of faith. I think I got it printed out in your handout. And it depends entirely on what? Entirely on what? Come on, y'all. Y'all know faith. So the outcome of faith, the promise, inheriting that promise, receiving it and seeing it manifest in your life right now is an outcome of your faith. And it depends entirely on what? Faith. Not fear, not feelings. Faith. In order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants. That's us. Not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. Isn't that beautiful? Romans 5, 1 and 5 through 5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So faith gives access to the empowerment of grace. And that grace is able to make us stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we glory in tribulations. No, so when the tough times and the tense times and the troubling times come, we rejoice in them. Not because of them, we rejoice in them, knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance or cheerful endurance. Amen. So everybody will be coming to church happy and rejoicing and thanking and praising God because God, he's taken us through this storm. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. So you see grace and faith working together. One making grace, one taking faith. Everybody say grace makes, faith takes. So it's the exercise of our faith. We believe that we receive the grace of restoration. By faith, we activate and appropriate God's restoration power and process in our lives. I hope this is getting clear to you. But we need to make sure that we're reminded of two vital things that we need to monitor. Number one, our love walk. Because we know, and we shared it Wednesday night, I'm just recovering some things that we need to be very cognizant of. Love keeps us from being offended. That's right. You know, Philippians tells us in Philippians 1:9 that our love, if prayer is that our love would abound more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that we may approve things that are excellent and be without offense, without getting offended till the day of who? To the day of Christ, till Jesus come back. If you get offended, you won't make it. Let me just put it plain, pastoral, straight in your face. You get offended, you won't make it. Because getting offended, we said, harboring bitterness or unforgiveness, ill will against anybody or anything, puts you in a position where you're in the devil's territory. Because every step out of love is a step out of God, and it's a step out of into sin. And you're on Satan's turf, and he can begin to steal and take things from you. Everybody say, stay in love.
Stay in love.
So that's why we encourage you early on in the instruction of this restoration stuff. We talk to you about take 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, Amplified Bible, and read it every day. Amen. And if you're married, you know, read it with your spouse if you have time and capability to do that. Read it with them. And keep the love of God flowing and growing in your spirit. I practice that right now because I don't want any strife, any bitterness, any ill feeling, any harboring, any unforgiveness or any aughts in my heart or mind against anybody. Amen. Amen? Because everything in the world is appropriated by faith, but faith works by love. And no love, no faith, no faith, no grace. No love, no faith. No faith, no grace. And without God's grace, you don't have his strength, you don't have his help, and you don't have his favor. And you doing it at the toilet, breaking your nails and sweating your brow and toiling and labor and then struggling. And then you'll be yelling, the struggle is real. Amen. But your love walk will keep the devil out. It'll keep fear out. Amen? All right. And second thing you need to be cognizant of, let me go back and talk about this love thing. Because when you get offended, we said, our King Scripture, our first scripture, Acts 3:19-21, he tells us that when that times of what? Refreshing come from where? Come on, y'all. No. Where do they come from? Come on, Bible scholars. Times of refreshing come from where? The presence of the Lord. So if you get offended, you can't get in his presence. And if you get no refreshed, that precedes restoration. So you get refreshed by his presence and you get restored by his power. If you don't get refreshed by his presence, you don't get restored by his power. If you get offended, you won't get in his presence, and you can't get in his presence. Because God is love, and every step out of love is a step out of where? God. And you get out of love, you get out of God, and you get out of his presence, and you don't have his power. Are you listening to me? So whoever it is, let it drop, let it go. Give up the resentment. Forgive quickly. Think of it as a hot coal in your hands. You got to get it out of your lap. And get out of here. It will burn you. I'll say it again. If you get offended, you won't make it. And so getting in his presence is paramount to you getting restored. Are you listening to me? You can't have no dry, dead seasons around your house. You need to be getting in his presence so you can get restored. Are you listening to me? And if you mad and miserable and walking through the mullet grubs and you mad at God and you putting your fist up, and not directly, you know, literally, but just figuratively, are you mad at other people and you walk around pouting like somebody put a whole bunch of prune juice in your mouth? Come on now, you swollen up like you got the measles or the mumps. Come on now. Who you mad at? Walk in love. Praise God. And so when the refreshing doesn't occur, restoration won't occur. That's the key. Second, our first, that's why we said you got to monitor that stuff. You got to monitor your love walk. Before the sun goes down, make sure you don't have wrath. That's the hidden emotion of anger. That means you don't have an eye toward revenge or getting somebody back or paying somebody back. Don't keep records. Too many of y'all are record keepers. Stop with that accounting. Don't account for evil done to you. Don't be marking off how many times they did you wrong or said the wrong thing to you or hurt your feelings or dishonored you or disrespected you. Stop counting. Amen. Tear up the list. Whew, I don't know why I'm staying on there, but the Holy Spirit's got me kind of dwelling on here. Hallelujah. Because your faith won't work if your love, if you won't forgive. No love, no faith, no faith, no grace. Then you got to monitor your faith walk. So you got to make sure you're growing. Now, while we talking about faith, Pastor, yeah, but you need to monitor your own walk of faith. Your faith must continue to grow and develop. That's why we read, feed, and exercise our faith in word. That's why we solicited many of you to get on the Bible app. Don't get stuck on the Bible app and just read and with your eyeballs and never put faith in your heart. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word. Faith doesn't come by reading. It's good that you read, but you got to feed. That means you got to read out loud. Your ears feed your spirit. Your ears feed your spirit. That's the mouth of your spirit, your ears. Faith comes by hearing, not seeing, not mentally reading. Faith comes by hearing. You never feed in the natural food on your face. You have to what? Open your mouth. There's a heart-mouth connection that feeds your faith. And it goes through the ear gates. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you got to make sure you're feeding and you got to make sure you're exercising. You may not exercise in natural, but you need to be exercising your faith in the spiritual. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not trying to convict anybody. Hallelujah. So you got to make sure you're exercising faith. How do you do that? Because when your faith grows, we said three things occur. Satan's dominion over you wanes. Circumstances become less formidable or formidable. And three, fear is destroyed. You need to be destroying those fears. Fears that you're never going to have no money. And, you know, you're shock and awe, like the devil's dropped an atomic bomb at your house. And he's like, what am I going to do now? No, that fear needs to get destroyed. Amen. That fear needs to get destroyed. Amen. That fear needs to get destroyed that you're never going to get healed. That the doctor said that situation is getting worse in your body. You need to turn around and say, excuse me, Mr. Doctor, and walk toward the door and say, I refuse to fear. Amen. And talk to fear. Don't talk to the doctor that way, but talk to fear and say, I refuse to fear. You got to resist fear just like you resist sin. Amen. And you resist Satan. That's right. You got to say, I refuse to fear. Or under your breath, I refuse to fear. I appreciate the facts, Mr. Doctor. I'm going to talk to my doctor, Dr. Amen. Jesus. Amen. 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 They may look at you and say, well, he's crazy and she's crazy. No, just refuse to fear. Now, last thing I want to give you, and this is what the Holy Spirit wants to really hone in on you. Faith dance. How do we take back with the devil? Friends, you and I have to stand. We don't not only believe and appropriate these promises by faith, but we have to stand in faith. Why? Because first, we must stand on the promises and the words of promise. And words of prophecies. Now, are you talking literal, Pastor? No, I'm talking about spiritual. Spiritually, your faith is standing on the word and standing on the promises of God. There's a song, Standing on the Promises of God. Are you standing? And then you got to stand on those prophecies. Amen. And then you, secondly, you got to stand until. Faith keeps standing until the manifestation of the words of promise and the manifestation of the words of prophecy. Don't stumble, stand. Amen. Until it comes to pass and you experience the full reality of it in your life. Third, we must stand in. You don't stand in your own strength. You stand in the strength of God, who made the promises and spoke the prophecies through his vessels of ministry. Now let's look at a couple of scriptures, and then we'll key in some more on this as we closing down. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 says, watch, stand. See that? Stand fast in the faith. Are you standing? Be brave, be strong. So as Pastor Cynthia kind of alluded to, we stand in prayer, we stand in praise, we stand in rejoicing. You're not standing if you're not doing it. Why? Because the devil comes immediately to take the word from you. And unless you stand on that word, you know, obviously we're talking figuratively, you stand on that word, you stand on these prophecies, he's going to try to move you off of them. So you got to stand firm in the faith. Look at this another one. Romans 14, 4. You who are you to judge another servant? To his master he stands or falls. Who's our master? Jesus. So when you're standing, you're making sure you're standing. You're not looking around and looking at everybody else and talking about everybody else. Amen. That's why we said you got to stay focused. Everybody say stay focused. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Amen. So that means you monitor your own standing in the Lord and in your own faith. Don't comment or criticize others who stand or fall. Because in the last days, there will be some, not all, not everybody, not most majority. The Bible says some will depart from the faith. In other words, some will depart from faith. They don't want to walk by faith. But it's not your job to judge them or criticize them or comment about them, because you contribute to their downfall. Love works no ill to his neighbor, right? So that means you don't talk about your mama. You don't talk about how bad they are. You need to make sure you're standing in the Lord. Somebody say glory to God. Mark 3:25 says, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. You got to make sure the family is together, standing together, because division, discord, and strife cause us not to stand. That's why we appeal and send you emails and texts. And I know there's a little mini epistles sometimes, but praise the Lord. Just to keep you encouraged and notes. Why? Because it's important that our family, this is not just Pastor Ed and Cynthia's time or season, but this is our time as a church family of restoration. Amen. So we need to make sure everybody's standing on these promises. That's why we gave you the little handouts. The ushers still have them. On restoration, the scriptures, all the things that can be God promised to restore in your life and my life. We gave you the prophecies. You got there. Why? So we can all stand together. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. This is our agenda. This was God's agenda for us right now. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Look at this. Let him who thinks he stands, there it is again, take heed lest he fall. So don't think or deceive yourself into believing you can stand in your own strengths and human abilities. This is not willpower. This is God's power. Amen. This is not your muscle. It's God's strength. He told us to be strong where? In the Lord and in the power of what? His might. That's my last section of scripture. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. put on the what? Whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, power, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now notice he said five times against. But none of them are people. None of them are people. Why are we against people in our family? Why are we against people perhaps in our church? No, we shouldn't be against each other. That's not your battle. Your battle is against the unseen. Your issues is spiritual. It's the devil who's against you getting restored. He's against you having abundance and increase. He's against us. But he noticed, he said, you don't fight against them, you wrestle against them. Wrestle is a word that means to vibrate or to sway. So he's trying to do what? He's trying to sway your faith from its belief and investment in God's word to its belief and investment in other things outside of God's word. So he's trying to sway you from faith to fear or faith to flesh. And when he keeps you in those other arenas, the reason realm, the natural realm, the mental realm, he'll whip you. That's why he's against you. They're vibrating, they're bringing vibration, or they're bringing pressure on you, on your belief system, to get you to move off of God and into the devil's territory. I'm trying to break it down and teach you this morning. Amen? Is this good stuff? All right, he says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what? Withstand his vibrations, his swaying attempts, his schemes, his strategy. You got to withstand them because they will come in the evil day. And having done all to, there it is again, stand. Faith stands. Everybody say faith stands. Stand, therefore. And he lists all these armaments. You got to stand with something. Amen. And he talks about all these things. I'm not going to go through that because of time. So these verses give us insights and vital instructions to standing in faith. So the question I have for you, friends, saints of God, precious people of God, powerful people of God, are you standing on the promises of restoration? On the prophecies that have been given to restore your life? Are you standing? Because faith stands. First, we see the enemy, our spiritual opponents, are the ones who are attempting to keep us from standing in faith by tempting us to begin failing, falling, and falling apart. Second, we see the armor of God helps us to withstand the onslaughts and attack of the enemy to move us from a position of standing to the peril of falling. Third, we see the importance of standing and who to stand against. The war is on and the war is raging. Remember, we are to wage a good warfare with the prophecies and the promises. 1 Timothy 1:18. He said that you wage a good warfare. You're at war. Against who? The enemy. Because he doesn't want you to take your stuff back. He doesn't want you to increase and abound in God's blessing. I think we should be more excited about it than what I'm seeing right now. But amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Fourth, we need to see strong, we receive the strong instruction and implication that we are to do something before we stand. He said, having done all, verse 13. Can you put verse 13 back up there? Verse 13. Having done all, everybody say done all. So have you done all? Have you done what you were instructed to do by the word of God and the spirit of God to do? Example means prayer. We've been emphasizing that a lot, and of course, the prayer watch and the things that we've been doing with our prayer service. Have you done all? Some of y'all could come to prayer on Thursday. Good. Are you coming? Have you doing all? What about your professions? Are you making your confessions? Are you praising and rejoicing them enough? Are you thanking God enough for his restoration work that's already at work on your behalf? Are you sowing and giving enough? Because God sometimes restoring your finances, you got to give him something to work with. In the financial arena, he not only wants your faith, but he also wants your obedience to sow and give. So are you obedient to sow and give as the Lord directs you? Amen. Hallelujah. Or other corresponding actions of obedience. Now remember, there was many of you heard this story. There was a woman in prayer, and she's praying, and she's needing healing. And then she sees a vision of scales come to her in prayer. And the Lord said to her, through those scales, he showed her the scales that her petition, her prayers were like heavy, weighted down, bricks, just loaded up. And then her praise had one feather on it. And he told her, what did he tell her? When your praise outweighs your petitions, then I will heal you. That's having done all. And she began to double up, triple up on her praise. I'm just trying to encourage you today. There was a woman that had aggressive form of terminal cancer. She was 30-something years old, 34 years old. She had three young children. And she was inside and instructed by the Lord to worship me as your healer. So she carved out an hour a day, and then it became 2 hours a day, where she would walk around her living room furniture and dining room furniture. They actually said she made an imprint on the carpet where she walked around the table. Now, they only gave this woman weeks and days to live. And she took the instructions and said, I got to do my worship. And around the house with terminal cancer began to worship God as her healer. And then it began to be 1 month, and it began to begin several months and several months. And she was not longer gone, but that cancer was not terminating her. It was leaving her. Praise God. And she was totally healed of cancer. Somebody said glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Hagin had a situation where this daughter had a real bad thing hanging out for her eyeball, looked real ugly, hanging off her eyeball, and the look of it was just alarming. And of course, he knew that he hadn't done all he needed to do to build his faith up. Because you and I, friends, can pray out ahead of our faith. Now, this is good instruction. See, the devil will have you go to sleep or get distracted during this time because you need to get this. You need to be able to understand and comprehend, have I done all to stand? Have I done all to stand? Have I done everything I need to do by the word of God and the instruction of the Holy Spirit to stand? And so he told his wife, because she told him about this thing. He said, no, I'm not ready to pray yet. That's wisdom. Because you got to know where your faith is at. So he said, we'll call me at 8:30 tomorrow morning, and I'll be ready. So he set his alarm for every hour and a half to 2 hours to get up and had his Bible on his nightstand and read and feed. So this is 6, 7 o'clock in the evening. And from 6 to 7 o'clock, he got up every hour and a half and got in the Word of God and fed his faith until that faith was fixed and firm and formed in his spirit. And so he knew that when we pray, I'm going to believe that we receive the healing of this thing on our eye. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, you don't want to pray out of your faith because you fracture your faith. You injure your faith. So he wasn't ready to pray yet. So by 5:30, he said, I got it. I read it. I believe that I receive. I believe in my heart. Because when you believe, that's when you receive. Without doubt in your heart, the Bible said. We just read it. And so he called his wife. He said, let's pray. Prayed over the phone. Agreed according to Matthew 18, 19, and 20. Where two or three is good. And they agreed. Boom. It was 3 weeks before the healing was manifested. But in his heart and his mind's eye from his spirit, he saw that thing completely gone. He didn't even recognize it. He went 3 weeks later, and then he asked his daughter, And his wife, he said, when that thing leave? She said, no, 3 weeks ago that thing left. Everybody say, faith stands. There was another situation where he was believing God for the house and the car, and he had extended his faith to a point where he was holding up things with his faith. Now, some of y'all are holding things up with your faith, but then you're trying to hold other things that your faith can't hold. So his wife came up to him, Miss Aretha, said, honey, we need some new curtains for this house. And she said, Aretha? He said, Aretha, honey, I don't have curtain faith right now. He said, you're going to have to get that on your own faith. Because he said, my curtain rod is full with the house, with the car, with the everything else, the bills, the expenses of the ministry and everything else. He said, I'm holding that up. He said, you get that curtains on your own faith. He said, all right. She understood. She had to believe and receive her curtains with her own faith. Amen. So some of us need to stop carrying other faith, because when your faith is overloaded, it won't stand. Brother Pastor Goodwin, good friend of Brother Higgins and B.B. Hankins, he used to tell him, he said, anytime the money get low, I'm talking about having done all to stand. Have you done all? He said, anytime the money would get low or the money would problem, he said, the Lord instructed him to dance the money in. What a strategy. Remember, you have to obey what the word tells you, the word of promise, and what the Holy Spirit instructs you. So his step was, he said, I just go to my closet and I just begin to dance the money in. Because remember, rejoicing is a part of joy, because you're rekindling joy, stirring up joy, and joy is a harvesting factor. See, some of y'all that need money and need emergency money, you need to be dancing. You need to be rejoicing, because rejoicing is a harvesting factor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so how much do you dance? How much do you rejoice around the house? I ain't talking about just a few minutes with the music and the right song that you like is on. I'm talking about just rejoicing on purpose, because you need the harvest of blessing to come into your life. Somebody say, glory to God. So dance the money in. Rejoice. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we unknowingly submit to you that we unknowingly we short circuit or strain our faith because we haven't strengthened it to stand. Are you standing on this word of restoration, on these promises and prophecies of restoration? Are you standing, and how well are you standing? Amen. Because you got to be able to weather the storm of the enemy's attempts to steal, strangle, and suffocate this word from you. Are you listening to me? It is so easy to be restored to now. And you need to believe it and receive it. Now, in closing, because you got to ask yourself, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, have I done all? Because remember, faith can be seen, faith can be heard, real faith, and faith acts on the word of God and a word from God. So is your faith seeing? Being seen by others? Is your faith being heard? Is your faith acting? So if you're bold in complaining and confessing the promise of God, you know that the big bold mouth gets big bold rewards. I am never to run at my giant with my mouth shut. And that the confession of my lips that's grown out of faith in my heart will absolutely defeat the adversary in every combat. I must realize that if my faith doesn't start talking, it will never start working. And if my faith is not strong enough to move my mouth, it'll never be strong enough to move my mountain. See, yours and my success and usefulness in the world is measured by our confession and our tenacity in which we hold fast to that confession. I like what Pastor Hagen does, him and Miss Lynette, every time they pray for a meal. They pray, they call the money in. because they operate on a budget much higher than we do. They need $3 million a month. So they believe that they receive. But what are they doing? They're exercising their faith every time they pray for food. Thank you that the $3 million is coming in. Every day, every time, every month. Somebody say glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What are you confessing every day? Because, see, what you say is what you get, and what you've got is what you said. And it is come what I say, not come what may. Now, if you're praising and thanking God, if that's your instruction, you got to understand that the depth of your praise will determine the magnitude of your breakthrough. So if God told you, sister, God told you, brother, to dance, to rejoice, to praise God, then if you're just patticating about it, then that's going to be the depth of your breakthrough. But it's the magnitude of your praise that determines the depth of your praise that determines the magnitude of your breakthrough. If the Lord tells you to rejoice in the Lord, you got to understand and comprehend that my celebration is a demonstration of my expectation. So the Bible, the Holy Spirit might tell you at the unusual spots. Sometimes with me, it's in the bathroom. I need you to dance and rejoice. I'm ready to go to bed. I'm just finishing up to go to bed. But then the Holy Spirit helps us when we heed his instruction. And so he helps us. He comes upon you and he makes you and he empowers you to dance or to rejoice. And I'm laughing and I'm shouting. I'm not trying to disturb anybody, but I'm doing it in, you know, under my breath. But I'm shouting and laughing and just being hilarious right there in the bathroom. Somebody said, glory to God. Have you done all to stand? That's what we're talking about. If it's sowing and giving generously as the Lord directs you and me, I give it extravagantly, generously, instantly, and cheerfully because I know that the harvest of my seed will swallow up my need. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling. King James says, but Amplified says, keep us from stumbling, slipping, and falling. The Holy Spirit, the Father God, the Word of God helps you keep you from falling. Because when you fall, you won't grip or grab this inheritance of restoration in your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.